to the celebration, and yet it is a celebration. Because even though Christ died for our sins, He did not stay dead. Amen? Ah, yes. we'll actually dismiss the children at this point. If you're in the children's service, you guys can just head right on down there. And I'll tell everybody else, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So while we have the little pitter-patter of feet, we'll hear the turning of pages at the same time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to be looking specifically at verses 12, 13, and 14 tonight. Fitness enthusiasts in here? Anybody a fitness enthusiast? All right, we got a few.
Nobody willing to admit it. Wouldn't want to look, you know, in shape in church. That would be not acceptable.
The title of our sermon today is Bodybuilding. Now, Pastor has spent some time talking about what it means to be the body of Christ. He's actually been spending quite a lot of time on it. But what I wanted to do today was I wanted to get very practical and talk about the body of Christ in terms of measuring the fitness of the body of Christ. Now, when you talk about the condition that our bodies, that our muscles can be in, there are three states, right? One, you can have atrophy. Now, atrophy is the gradual decline of effectiveness or vigor due to the underuse or neglect. You get atrophy when you sit around and you don't do anything, and your muscles eventually deteriorate from lack of use. The other state is sort of the opposite side of the spectrum there, and that is fatigue. And fatigue is a reduction in the efficiency of a muscle or organ after prolonged activity. So fatigue is when you get to the point of exercise to where you're not, it's not doing any good. Okay, so the efficiency has gone down because the activity is too high. And then we have the middle ground, and that is healthy growth. And that really is just the growth and increase of the size of muscle cells and the formation of new muscle cells. So you have three states. Essentially, one is the moderate, two are the extremes. And I want to take a look at the body of Christ, specifically you as individual members, and I want to look at these three different aspects that our physical bodies can be in, and I want to look at them in the spiritual sense. I want to look at them in the sense of we are members of the body of Christ. Let's start by looking at 1 Corinthians 12, refreshing our memories, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. Now, the long and short of what he's saying here is, and most of you know this, this isn't going to be some great light bulb moment for everybody, but the long and short of what he's saying here is we are all members of one body, and that body as a whole is the body of Christ, but we are individual members that work together to form that body of Christ. Now, it's a concept that isn't probably new. Again, this is something that you probably have heard before. But I want to take a moment and I want to look at these conditions that the body can be in, and specifically different parts of the body. And I wanted to start off with atrophy. Now, as I said before, atrophy is that gradual decline of effectiveness or vigor due to underuse or neglect. So underuse or neglect. Well, why would we ever have atrophy in the church? Well, I think there are several causes atrophy in the church, and I want to go down through them. First of all, I think sometimes a member in the church is not being effective or vigor because they're being underused or neglected. I think that happens for a couple reasons. The first reason is I think that sometimes that happens with new believers. Sometimes when a person gets saved and they're new to the church, they don't really know what their gifts are, right? They don't really quite fully understand how they're meant to fit in. And, you know, I love this example of the body because it's so practical and it's so relevant. When, you know, We've got a little baby and distracting the service. He's wonderful. But when you look at this, baby, he's new, and his members, he doesn't know how to work them all together. You know, we're trying to feed him. He still doesn't figure out that his hands are pushing the bottle away yet. You know, he's not able to work together to do things effectively. And I think sometimes, when a person gets saved, when a believer is a new believer in the church, sometimes they don't quite understand how to fit into the church. But this is part of the growth process, isn't it? I mean, part of the growth process is discovery. It's learning about what your gifts are, what things you enjoy, what things God has gifted you in, what type of things that you're good at. And as you learn those things, then you also begin to exercise. Again, very much the same way that a child. A child, and one of the reasons why children are so fascinating is discovery. You know, we all get really like, oh, Christmas time is, we like it because it's a day off. But when you have kids, suddenly Christmas is like, you know, they're like, presents! And, you know, and their discovery and their excitement about learning all of these things and what it all means helps us to rediscover that as well. And we get excited about that because we get to see that discovery. And I think in much the same way, when you have a new believer that comes into a church, you see very much the same thing. They're new, they're excited, there's a lot of zeal that's there, and they're trying to figure everything out, they're exercising, they're falling down, they're making mistakes, they're doing things that sometimes we look and go, oh. We look at new believers that come into the church and they do some things that believers that have, you know, that are more mature, that have been around for a bit longer, look at and they say, oh, how could they do that? How could they do that? But don't we do that with children? You did that where? You put that where? You know, like, we're just, that discovery process is sometimes painful, but it is, but it's healthy. And keep in mind that if you have a child that isn't growing, that isn't discovering, that isn't learning, that isn't discovering what their gifts are, that's an unhealthy thing. And I think if you have a new believer in the church who's been there for a long time, doesn't know what their gifts are, hasn't been exercising themselves, again, in the capacity that they're in, I think there's a problem there. And I think we as mature believers need to be encouraging that. If my son didn't eat for a day, I'd be worried. I'd take him to the doctor. I'd say, hey, you need to, you know. And if you know, there are certain developmental signs that I think are important to be there. And and also keep in mind, you know, like if Ethan slept when he's 16 years old, if he slept as much as he does now, that'd be a problem. You know, I mean, you can't sleep 20 hours a day when you're 16 years old. That's not, you know, it's just, you can't get anything done. And if I've offended some 16-year-olds, I apologize. Parents are going to go home. Well, you heard Pastor said. A warning. I think this is important to say. First of all, a warning to those who are skilled by reason of exercise. Have patience on those who are wobbly. It's frustrating at times. Just like being a parent can be frustrating. You know, like, oh, I taught them. I keep telling them and they don't get it. It's not sinking in their brain. And it gets frustrating. And sometimes when a new believer comes into church and they make mistakes, things that you're like, they should know this, and seem common sense to you, Be patient. Be patient with them. And remember from whence you came. Remember the things that you've gone through. I think sometimes we get distance from those initial struggles that we went through and the challenges that we faced. And suddenly we expect everybody to be up here on this plateau. It's like, now, son, you're 3 weeks old. You really should be riding a bicycle at this point. It doesn't make sense. And it can actually do more to hurt. If I put my son on a bicycle and send him down the street at 3 weeks old, you know, he would be injured seriously. And yet sometimes we have people that come into the church, get saved, and we're like, now do everything. And I think we can, and I know people actually who have gotten hurt because of that. So that's a warning to those who are skilled. And now let me give a warning to those who are wobbly. You need to walk before you can run. And one of the things that, there's sometimes tension in a church between those who are young and have zeal and those who are old and have wisdom. There's sometimes tension that goes between them. And as a new believer, you've got zeal. Sometimes if you don't fully know where your gift is, you're going to try to be a hand when you're really supposed to be a foot. Right. And I think that takes time. I think that takes counseling with other folks. I think it takes being honest with yourself, seeking the Lord, praying. So, just as a baby doesn't start with a steak dinner, you need to grow patiently. You need to start with the sincere milk of the Word. One of the qualifications for being a pastor is not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride they fall into a snare and the condemnation of the devil. And so there's a sort of an understanding that if you're going to be a pastor, you can't be a novice. You need to have some experience behind you, because there are some things that you just don't know at this point. And that's not to say God loves you any less. That's not to say that you can't be used in any capacity. But God has specifically said, at least in terms of the pastoral qualifications, you shouldn't be a novice. And so I think that's one of those things, just like with a baby, one of the things that we're finding, there's no exact right answer. Should our baby be eating 2 ounces or 3 ounces of milk? I don't know. And they're like, well, you have to kind of learn and you have to figure out how they're growing. And it's kind of like a fuzzy process. And I think that's part of growth in Christ as well. I think another reason why there's atrophy in the church is, and by the way, being a new believer and sort of coming in slow, that's okay. That's something where the muscles aren't developed yet, but through exercise, that'll eventually come. I think another reason why atrophy happens is people are new to the church. They're unsure of how to get involved. And I know there's quite a few people in here who like that. You just started coming. You're trying to get a feel for what the church is like. You don't really know a whole lot of folks. You're starting to get involved there. But this, too, is also a growth process. Learning how best to use the gifts that God has given you in the manifestation, in this local manifestation of His body. But I will remind you of this. Keep in mind that God has gifted you with your gifts and talents. And so whether you're at Church A, Church B, or Church C, God can use your gifts at that church. It's so funny because, sometimes I talk with young adults who are looking to come out to the church, and I've had this question asked to me. Someone says to me, well, what is your church like? Do they have an emphasis on missions? Do they have an... And I think those are valid questions. But I always try to remind them, and I say, you know what? If you came to our church, you would be a part of the church. And the reason that that's important, because some people will look and they'll say, that church doesn't look like they have an emphasis on missions. And I really care about missions, therefore I'm not going to go. But what you miss with that is that God wants you here to help bring that important emphasis to the church. And so let's not forget that the reason that you're here is to help bring what gifts you have to the church. Another reason, and that's okay too, and again, it's a growth process, and as long as growth is happening, it's healthy, it's important. I think another reason, and this is, we're starting to get into the ones where maybe we'll step on a few toes and we'll address some things that need to be changed. I think sometimes we have lazy takers. You have people who are here to get rather than to give. These folks often assume that their sacrifice is somehow greater than someone else's sacrifice. They say, well, you don't understand what my schedule looks like, or you don't understand how difficult my family can be, and they throw out a list of things why the sacrifice that they would have to make in order to be able to participate in the body of Christ. They throw out this whole list of why participating would be impossible for them, trying to justify their atrophy, trying to justify their inaction. And let me say this, I understand. And actually, I was watching the political debates, the one that they had on 9/11, that was a little more civil than most. And one of the questions that they were addressing, and I thought this was fascinating, they talked about how that sometimes the economy can impact people's ability to volunteer. Because if you have to work more, you have less time to be able to volunteer. And so I understand that. And I want you to know that I'm aware of that in my mind. But I also know, and I've told people this time and time again, that God will take care of you. And if you are willing to trust in Him and serve, you'd be surprised at how He takes care of His children. Because I think sometimes we don't give Him an opportunity to support us. We're like, oh, I can't give. I can't afford that. Just like I can't tithe. I don't have the money to tithe. But God has promised, if you bless, just like the widow with the two mites, you put that in there, she was giving out of her need. She wasn't giving out of her excess. It was like, I got some extra money, I'll throw it in the offering plate. It was, this is something that I need, but God deserves it, so I'm giving it to Him. And it belongs to Him, and she put that in the plate. You know, that was something that struck Christ. Can you imagine that? Something that Christ went, marveled at. Remember, your gifts are given to you not for your own good. Your gifts are given for the benefit of the body and ultimately. Because when I say the benefit of the body, I'm not just talking so that OVC gets really popular. I'm talking about the benefit of the body so Christ gets the glory. Because ultimately, if we have a church that is serving, that is working, that is working together, and again, all of the feet, the ears, I don't know what you are, but if you're a foot, you're a toe, you're an ear, you're a pinky, whatever it is that you're gifted at, God can use those to form His body. And when that body is working together and people see all of these things working together, suddenly it's like, wow, let's give God glory. You know, aren't you amazed at how our bodies can work? You know, you look and you see all of these things. And, you know, when we were going through birth and all that, it's like, it's fascinating. Just some of the things you learn. It's like, I can't believe that the body is designed in that way. It's just fascinating to see it all when it works together. You know, that's exactly what happens here at church. When everybody's working together and bringing glory to God, man, people can't help but notice that. Because think about it. You look around this church. Look around at the different people that are here. We've got people all different ages, all different walks of life, all different economic statuses, and yet we can work together as a body of Christ to bring Him glory. That's not natural. People who are different don't usually get along, right? I mean, that's the natural status of things. When people are different, they don't get along. But we have one Lord, one body, one faith, one hope, and that is what draws us together. And one of the things I want to address here is, and this is number four, one of the things that often causes atrophy is feelings of uselessness. Because maybe some of you aren't lazy. Maybe some of you just feel like, well, I could never do what they do. You know, I could never get up there and play that piano. I could never, you know, I'm not really good at cleaning. I'd break the vacuum cleaner. Maybe you look at what other members are doing and you say, I could never do that. But what you fail to realize is that God intended for diversity. You know, the thought that if you're not like somebody else, that you're useless. And actually, Paul addresses it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verses 15 and 16. What's he say?
If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body.
Is it therefore not of the body? Because he's not a hand, does that suddenly somehow he's not part of the body? Because not every member can be a hand. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Just because you look at someone else and you say, I can't do what they do, does that mean you're somehow negated from your responsibility as a member of the body? No, absolutely not. You have a responsibility to be part of this body. And the things that God has gifted you in, those things need to be worked out in your life. Now, there are three important remedies to this wrong thinking of uselessness. First of all, or actually four. First of all, your comparison isn't wise because all members are necessary. And actually, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Flip over there for a minute. 2 Corinthians 10, 12. For we dare not class ourselves and compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Way too much self going on there. When you start comparing yourselves with each other, that's when you run into problems. God has gifted you the way with something that He wants you to use. Remember, when I went to PBU for this ministry fair the other day, and this guy had a big T-shirt and it said, "Don't go to church" on it. And he said, you know, it's funny, a lot of people get mad at him wearing it. And he had some lady like yelling at him for wearing it. And he turned around and the back says, "Be the church." Don't go to church, be the church. You know, we can do a church building, but the building just houses the church. And the church may be pretty, just like a seashell may be pretty, but it's not the life inside. And that's what matters. The life inside is what matters. And so, so when we sit here and we look and we say, oh, I can't be like person, or I can't be like that person, what we forget is that God has given us a certain purpose. You know, and it's the funny thing about this is if the foot is looking at the hand saying, I'm not a hand, therefore I'm not of the body, the problem with that is if the foot suddenly stops working, the hand really can't do what it needs to do. And not only that, but the foot fails to realize that the walking around and all the stuff that a foot does, that who's going to do that? The knees are going to suddenly have to pick that up, and then the knees are going to get all worn out, and they're going to get hurting, and the body's not going to be able to work the way that it ought to because the feet aren't working the way that they ought to. All because the feet start getting self-centered. Did you ever try to stand up when your foot was asleep? You know, you're just kind of like, That one part, which is not all that pretty. I don't really like feet all that much. But that one part that's not that pretty is necessary for the body. And so you might be looking and you might be saying, I don't see how I have any role in this church. I don't see how that I'm all that important. Well, you know, it's interesting. Look at verse 18. Oops. I'm in 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 18, it says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. God has created you to be a part of the body, just as He pleased. And He wants you, this is His will. It pleases Him to have the body this way. So guess what? When you're a foot and you're saying, I'm not a hand, therefore I have no value, what are you doing? You are slapping God in the face. Because God created you and it pleases Him. And He says, this is how I want you to be. And you say, well, I don't like it. That's what you're saying. You're slapping God in the face and saying, what you created, the way that you made me, the way that you made our body, it doesn't live up to my standards, God. I want to be a hand. And so begrudging your gifts is a slap in the face of the Creator, the one who gave them to you. You know, another thing, and I said this before, but God intends to have diversity in the body. Diversity brings strength and balance, as much as you may not like diversity. As much as diversity brings conflict, diversity is necessary. And we're actually going to talk about that when we get into fatigue a little bit, because I think that impacts it as well. Diversity brings strength and balance. Look at verse 19 and 20 of chapter 12. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. If everything was all, if we were all a hand, how strange would that be? There's a lot that we couldn't do, including nourish ourselves. You know, we'd get around just fine. But, God intended for this diversity to help. Well, let's shift. Let me address one thing before I move on. You might be looking at chapter 14, verse 1, and saying, verse 14:1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may desire prophecy, or maybe even, in 12:31 says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. So you might be asking the question, if we're supposed to be satisfied with how God made us, why does it say earnestly desire the best gifts? Well, there's something here that I think we need to learn, and that is dissatisfied contentment. Because I think what needs to happen is here is we need to be satisfied with how God made us, and we need to find purpose in the gifts that we have been given while yet still yearning for gifts that we don't have. Let me give you an example of this. Okay, you might be gifted in mercy. You might be a very sympathetic person, and you might be able to understand people very well, whereas other people might look and say, I don't get that guy. I don't know what his problem is. So you might be gifted in mercy, but, and that's good. It's important because that's one of the roles that you play. But it's important for you to also be pursuing this idea of edification. Because if you're just mercy and you just say, I feel bad for you, and that's where it ends, and you don't help them get out of whatever they're feeling bad about, you're missing a part there. Okay, so it's important that we not only find purpose and meaning in the gifts that God has given us, but also be willing to pursue those that He has not as well. Well, let's shift our focus for a moment and let's talk about fatigue. Because maybe you're not in the atrophy section. Maybe you're in the fatigue section. Fatigue is that reduction in efficiency of a muscle or organ after prolonged activity. I think there are a couple of reasons why fatigue is common in the church. And let me go through them. They're by no means exhaustive, no pun intended. But they're by no means an exhaustive list. First of all, overextension. Or trying to do everything yourself, including those things that you are not called or equipped to do. And I think this happens in a couple of ways. I think one of the ways is when certain members are not acting or are not helping the body as they're supposed to. Okay, it's like the feet. You know, if the feet stop working and say, "Ah, I'm not gonna," you know, "I'm just a puny nothing," suddenly the knees have to pick up the slack, right? And now the knees, they're not built for that. They're not made for that. And the knees start to get injured and they start to get hurt. And I think sometimes that happens in the body of Christ, where you have people who are gifted in a certain area. Let's say you have somebody who is gifted in finances, but they're not using their gifts. And so somebody else who doesn't really have that gift and they're not really good at it, but they're doing it because there's a need there. And suddenly they're starting to get injured and they get frustrated and they get upset and they get... because they're doing something that really they've not been gifted to do. Now, if the person who was gifted in that area were to come in and were to work in that regard, suddenly this person would be able to focus on what they have been given. And so I think that's what happens when you're not exercising your gifts in the way that you should be. I think also this is driven by a false sense of what the church needs. And let me explain this. I put that in quotes, what the church needs. I think sometimes we try to make the church bigger or different than what God has gifted or provided. Now, this is, you might not have ever really considered this before, but I want you to think about something. Sometimes the things that we think we have in church, why do we think they have to be there? And I dealt with this. I was in a very, very small church at one point in time, and there literally were not enough people to cover all the Sunday school classes. And in that case, you had people who literally were trying, you had people trying to do Sunday school, and the same people were also doing an English as a second language class, and those same people were trying to do a choir. And eventually, people were trying to do too much, and they ended up getting burnout, and ended up just stopping serving altogether. And here's a good example. And again, you have to forgive me for all of these birthing examples. I've just been learning so much, it really kind of relates to a lot. But, you know, one of the things that everybody told us right before we had our baby, they said, you know, when you're talking about keeping a clean house, just pick like one room in the house to keep clean. Don't try to clean the whole thing or you'll just burn yourself out. You'll get too exhausted. And that's advice. And what they were saying was, is it bad to have a whole clean house? No, that's a good thing. It's a great thing to have a nice clean house. But given our limited resources of sleep and awake time, we had to choose our priorities. And so we're like, okay, we'll keep the living room clean because that's when people come in. That's what they'll say. You know, we don't care about the bedroom. All right. And so there's a choosing of priorities that has to happen there. And I think sometimes we need to be doing that as a body because people can be all spread out doing all sorts of things. And I'm not saying that growth isn't important. And we'll actually cover this in just a minute about what type of growth is important. But sometimes they're just misplaced priorities. And we need to be aware of those things. So what's the solution? Well, the solution is to set priorities. What's important? How have you been gifted? What is your purpose as a member? What is your purpose as a body? And if you're looking at these things, it helps us to better focus so that we're not getting overextended in certain areas. The second one is what I really want to address, though. And that is this. Self-sufficiency. This is the "I don't need them" mentality that 1 Corinthians 12:21 talks about. And the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." So you remember we talked before. You had the feet going, "I can never do what they, what the hand is doing," and feeling useless. On the other hand, now you've got the admission to the hand saying, "Hey, don't despise the foot. Even though they seem like not as important, you absolutely must have them." Okay, and so this is far more common in the church than I think many people would admit. See, when people in church disagree over things that are sinful, it's easy to regard these differences and people as hindrances to the church and say, I wish they just weren't here. I'm so frustrated with them. I always seem to be butting heads with them. I just wish they would leave the church. My life would be a whole lot easier. Well, first of all, that's a lie, because you just butt heads with somebody else. But one of the things that you will find, they might reflect a different perspective. They emphasize different spiritual gifts. And it's often very tempting to see these distinctions as strengths or weaknesses. But Paul, one of the things that he specifically said, what's the last word of verse 22? These are necessary. No, much rather, these members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Not like, I guess so. They are necessary. And not even just helpful, they are necessary. You need them to be there. Let me give you a really practical example. You're going to love this one. You ready? Remember in our business meeting, I think it was maybe not this February, might have been the February before that, when we were talking about replacing our accordion doors, and we had the French doors. When the discussion came up about these French doors, people disagreed. And as I recall, people disagreed pretty strongly about whether or not we should have French doors. Now, having French doors or not having French doors, is that a sin? No, it is not a matter of sin. The people who wanted French doors said that, oh, they would look nice and they would be a lot better than those big, ugly accordion doors. And then the people who didn't want them said it would be too much work to try to clean them up. They're valid points on either side. They really are. Now, you might be saying, if you were pro-French doors, you might have been saying, well, you know, their reason that they didn't want them was kind of weak. And if you were on the, you know, anti-French door side, then you might have been saying, well, the reason for wanting to have them was kind of weak. And that's why you're on the side that you're on, obviously. But what I want you to understand here is that as different members, we bring multiple perspectives, multiple ideas, and multiple concern about all different types of things that are genuinely important. And so that's necessary. It's not always easy, but it's necessary. And, you know, one of the things that I want to call everybody to, our ideas will not always be unified. You know, you can sit in on a deacon's meeting and you understand that. Our ideas are not always going to be unified. But because we share one faith, one hope, and one Lord, we must, as verse 25 says, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same, what? Verse 25, that the members should have the same care for one another. Notice it didn't say that they have the same ideas as one another, but they have the same care for one another. So we might not have the same, we might not be in agreement about French doors, the style of music played, or the color of the carpet, but let us agree to have the same heart for one another. We're called to love our enemies. How much more should we be loving those who are here in the body of Christ? And that would just transform the way that we interact with each other. You know, that the hand obviously knows what stuff is important for the hand. The hand says, well, I'm here to do, you know, to things and to bring food to the mouth and to wave and to shake hands. You know, the hand knows all of the things that it's good for. Sometimes it forgets what the foot is good for, but it needs the foot. And just in that same way, we all have different opinions. Sometimes those opinions are more apparent than others. The differences are more apparent than others, but we need each other. And the Bible says that it's necessary. So we do need each other. Ultimately, we're not able to carry out God's will effectively when we drive away other members of the church. When we drive away other members of the church, you might say, I am glad they're gone because now everybody's happy about the French doors. You might be able to drive those people away. But let me tell you something. Then you've severed hands, severed head, severed pinky, severed toes. You name it. If those members are gone, they were there for a purpose. And that purpose we're going to talk about right now. And that is this: healthy growth. Now, fitness aficionados, how do you build muscle mass? Anybody, how do you build muscle mass? What does exercising do? Tears the muscles. You know, that it's called microtrauma. It's not a gigantic, you know, like rip the muscles in half, but it's those small tearing of the muscles. The body then says, we're going to build that up stronger again. And the tearing of the muscles, and it builds it up stronger again until then, it's protection from the large schisms. Do you know that? So like, you know, if you were to throw like a, you know, 600 pound something on my shoulders, there would be things that would be tearing and, you know, bad things would be happening. But if I were every day working out and I were, you know, pumping iron and doing all of this stuff, and you get, you know, got the gigantic muscles and you throw that on my back, I'm used to that, right? And so therefore I am able to ultimately grow in that way. And so really spiritual bodybuilding requires finding the balance between the healthy balance between atrophy and fatigue. Because rest is important, but if you rest too much, your muscles begin to fade away. If you work too much to the point where you're either you feel self-sufficient or you're doing something that you're not called to do, then you can get hurt and other people can get hurt. And so finding that balance is absolutely important. When that microtrauma occurs, the body responds by overcompensating, replacing the damaged tissue, adding more so that the risk of repeat damage is reduced, so that when a greater trauma comes along, it can handle it. And listen to this. This is actually from Wikipedia, the definition for microtrauma. Listen to the last sentence, and I love this. This is why progressive overload is essential to continued improvement as the body adapts and becomes more resistant to stress. Man, I can't think of any better way to explain how our church needs to function. Because, you know, it's like in a family. You can have some of the greatest times together, can't you? Just like after you're done working out, man, it's like, oh, you just feel good. But sometimes when you start out, and those of you who ever lifted weights, you know, it's hard to get started because it hurts. It's kind of, you know, it's that burn and nobody, you know, you don't really like that. But the end result is just a great, it's just, you feel good about yourself. The body is strong. The body can respond. It's healthy. It lasts longer. That's what we need to be doing as a body of Christ. So when you come face to face with these micro traumas, when you have small conflicts with people over things that aren't sin. Now, in the heat of the moment, the French doors probably felt like a really big thing. But, you know, now that we're a year plus away from it, you can look and say, some people are probably like, what? You argue about French doors? Now that we're far away from that, we can look and say that's a micro trauma. And things like that ought to be bringing us closer together and making us stronger. And it is through these differences, it's through these conflicting perspectives, again, the valid perspectives, the things that, you know, some people have a heart for mission, some people have a heart for evangelism, some people have a heart for the body of Christ and building them up. Some people have a heart for, you know, those that are struggling with addiction. Some people have a heart for kids. Some people have a heart for older folks. Some people have a heart for teens, young adults. God has intended for us to all come together and to work together, and to, as a body, through the conflicts, through the friction that comes when we interact with each other, to ultimately become stronger, so that, not so that we can feel good about ourselves and pat ourselves on the back, but ultimately so we can bring glory to Christ. And that's why we do our spiritual bodybuilding. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you that we have the ability, Lord, to... we have this ability to trust you and sometimes it sounds silly, but Lord, this great opportunity to be challenged, Lord, to have our worldview challenged and the things that we think are important, to have someone else come along and ask us why those things are important, Lord, and learning to grow. That is important, Lord. It is necessary. You've told us so. And if there's anyone here today, Lord, who is on the atrophy side, maybe they're a new believer. Maybe they don't really know how to fit in. Maybe they're just lazy. Whatever the case may be, Lord, I pray that you would help them to get involved, to look, examine their lives, and see what it is that you have gifted them with, and to be an essential part of Oxford Valley Chapel. Not just a pew warmer, not just somebody who comes in on a weekly basis and drops a tithe check in, Lord, but somebody who is willing to be a part of the body of Christ. And maybe there are some here today who are fatigued, Lord. And maybe that fatigue is because they're doing too much. And they're doing things that you never called them to do. And they're taking on too much responsibility. I pray that you'd help them to be able to see that and to be able to understand what's important. And to be able to break that down and put priorities on their life. And maybe it's because they're self-sufficient and they think they've got all the answers. And they just, you know, it's just easier for them to do it themselves, Lord. I pray that you'd help them humble their hearts, Lord. Pride goeth before destruction. And I pray that you'd help them not to be proud, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to be willing to help those who maybe aren't working the way that they need to bring those up to speed. But ultimately, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be growing as a body. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to finish out.